Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on this very beautiful Sunday morning. It has been a pleasure for me to worship with this congregation for the past 3 months. As my time with Wildwood is now drawing to a close, I would like to extend a thank you to each of you who has welcomed me here with open arms and took this brief journey with me. Seeing as my time with Wildwood is nearly done, I thought it might be a good idea to share about some of the more important lessons I learned over the spring and summer. So today, we're going to be taking a little detour in the sermon series, which Joe has been delivering for the past few weeks on revolutionary love. While I am not using Valerie Coeur as a text today, I find that this sermon still fits into the category of revolutionary love. Now, as Tom was saying earlier, shortly before starting my time here, the adult Sunday school class had started an 8-part mini-series on mental health and its relationship with the church. I took part in the Sunday school class and even led 2 of its sessions. We talked about such topics as stigma, companionship, and caregiving. But what I want to focus on today is self-care. In the section about self-care, we are encouraged to think about why it is so important to take care of ourselves and how we can effectively do so. One tool which was helpful for developing a base of self-care was an emotions wheel. Which, if things go according to plan, come on, you can do this. There we go. So this is an emotion wheel. The way that it works is you look at the center where there are a handful of base emotions, in this case, 6. And depending on how you feel at the time, you pick one of those base emotions. And then you go further out into the wider circle in that same color and use one of those words to better articulate how you are feeling at the time. Simply by improving your emotional literacy, by using tools like this one, you already improve your self-care because you can better identify when you need to seek support from others. In preparing my notes for leading the session on self-care, a familiar verse was given a new twist, and this passage was just read a few moments ago. You must love your neighbor as yourself. Traditionally, when one hears this passage, they translate it as, treat others nicely so that they will treat you nicely. And certainly that is true. We do need to remember that if we want others to be kind to us, then we must be kind to them. However, the twist that I alluded to places emphasis on a different portion of the passage, as yourself. The guidebook we used for Sunday school tells us that we are meant to love ourselves as much as we love our neighbors. Congregation members like those at Wildwood and all across the world show so much love for their community, and it is a beautiful thing. But with that love of others, there must also come love of oneself. God wants all of us to treat ourselves well. If we continue to put the needs of others ahead of our own, we may miss signals that our bodies are sending to take care of ourselves. This then can lead to us not providing the best possible care we can. We are human. There are limits to what we can do. By taking care of ourselves, we replenish the energy we need to take care of others well. Take, for example, caregivers who work in care homes, or those who have children who need extra care. We have a responsibility to take care of our family and friends who need that extra bit of care. At the same time, it is incredibly important that these caregivers are also given the support and care that they need. CPE, or clinical pastoral training, to those who are unfamiliar, is an excellent example of how caregivers can find support. And CPE is a course taught at hospitals throughout the country, one of which is right here in Saskatoon at St. Paul's, where participants develop chaplaincy skills. As a part of the CPE program, participants will do hospital visits on their own, but also have a regular check-in with the rest of the participants and the teacher of the sessions. This support group creates the space for program participants to process the challenges and blessings which can come out of providing spiritual care. Finding support groups and intentionally reaching out to them is one of the most important ways which we can show ourselves the care we deserve. Psalm 42 was used in the Sunday School series curriculum as a form of opening prayer to each session, and portions would be always recited at the beginning and end of each week's short film. And I would like to note that I came up with the scripture selection before I realized that Joe was using it last week. A particularly powerful excerpt is verse 5. "Why so dispirited?" I ask myself. "Why so churned up inside? Hope in God. I know I'll praise God once again, for you are my deliverance. You are my God." When one reads this psalm with a mental health lens, it seems like the psalmist is struggling with some mental challenges and presents the reader with a way to respond to said challenges. We can turn to God when we need mental support. The act of prayer can be a simple and very powerful tool. When we pray for God about our mental health, it can do two things. First, it reminds us that we are not alone. The Bible tells us that God will never truly abandon his children. It may feel like you can't find God anywhere, but that does not mean that God is not present. Remembering that you are not alone gives you the strength to find the support you need to healthily move forward. Second, praying to God helps you articulate what you are going through and need support for. This may help you be more prepared for when you need to articulate your needs to others. God is a great listener, even if we cannot always hear a response at times. Who knows? You might even find that it is in prayer when your self-care needs are much clearer. In our world, caregivers are frequently told that their own needs are second to the needs of those they care for. This mentality goes beyond explicit caregivers like nursing home workers and parents. It can also be said for friendships, professional relationships, and many others. In relationships, there needs to be consideration of the needs of all involved parties. As a result, we need to be aware of what we need to be in relationships well. Do you need time alone at the start of the business day to center yourself and get into a good headspace? Then perhaps you can let your coworkers know that for the first 10 to 15 minutes of your time in the office, you wish not to be interrupted. A significant barrier for self-care in our world is guilt. The world has told us that if you do not give 110% of the time, you are not doing your job right. And this is the kind of mentality that can lead to burnout. We need to learn to tell ourselves that it is okay to take the rest and breaks we need. There are going to be days where you feel like the best you can give is 75%. It is on days like these when you need to slow down and ask yourself, what can I do to take care of myself? Perhaps this means treating yourself and your family to a meal at a restaurant for supper instead of preparing supper after you get home from work. Or it could also mean spending the evening reading your favorite author while listening to relaxing music instead of doing the laundry. Whatever it is that you need to do, it is important that you take the time to take care of yourself. If you don't, then you and your loved ones may not get the love which God has made available to all of us. For a more concrete example, consider this story of my last semester at Conrad Grebel this winter. I was dealing with high stress figuring out what came next, had virtually no community of support physically with me, and was two time zones away from the nearest family. These factors put together made the semester a challenge. I would have lunch with classmates after class once a week, but that was essentially the most social interaction that I had each week. But I did my best to take care of myself. I frequently FaceTimed with my father and FaceTimed with some of my friends from CMU to process my emotions and watch a good film, and did some recreational reading. I knew that each of these activities traditionally relaxed me, so I leaned into them more intentionally. It was doing these self-care exercises that helped me get through the 4 months of school. And therefore, I hope that each of us can find ways to take care of ourselves when we feel overwhelmed. To love oneself well is a form of revolutionary love. We are taught to not seek help and push through every adversity in life. But to be open and honest with yourself and admit that you need to take care of yourself is a bold and revolutionary love. So be bold and show yourself the love which you wish to show to your neighbors. To end the sermon, we are going to be doing a little exercise. We are going to be doing a brief guided meditation. The goal of the exercise is to develop a sense of where you are today and what you are needing. We will spend the first minute or so examining this emotion wheel, which I am hoping we can all see well enough, and trying to find something on it that expresses our current states. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you confused? However you are feeling, I want us to spend the next couple minutes praying and asking God to show us how we can take care of ourselves in our current state. If you are having trouble finding yourself on this wheel, then perhaps you have a family member or friend who you know is going through a time of needing care. So then I would ask that you do this exercise on their behalf. So now we will take a minute to find ourselves on this wheel. Now I ask that we all enter into a moment of praying, however you prefer to physically do so. Here I am in this state. What do I need to be here well? How can others support me in these challenges? How can I support others in their challenges? Amen.